Welcome to the Kickstart Podcast, where we highlight the stories of how professionals kickstarted and navigated their very successful careers. My name is Preston, and on this episode, we have the pleasure of hosting someone who has had a successful career in investment banking, product marketing, and strategy before becoming the CEO of Routine, a company that is optimizing your health and daily performance with precise nutrition. Rachel, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Likewise. So I guess a great way to start is by asking you, for those that don't know who you are, who are unfamiliar with your background, would you mind sharing a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, happy to. So I am CEO and co-founder of Routine. And what we do is focus on improving people's health and really taking the guesswork out of what is right for you and what nutrition solutions you should be utilizing. In terms of how I got there, so I started my career in investment banking, as you mentioned, but it kind of harkens back a little bit earlier than that. So earlier in my life, I came into some health issues specifically around gut and energy, and went to traditional medical services. That didn't really work out for me. And I really had to take control of my own health. And I did that through nutrition, through lifestyle adjustments. And it was really then that I got around this idea of how do I improve my health across my sleep, across my movement, across my nutrition to better how I perform on a daily basis. Fast forward through to undergrad, starting in investment banking, I was dealing with not the same, but equally annoying health issues like stress, burnout, fatigue, which often bankers do as young analysts. And that's when I turned to nutrition again and really looked at kind of how can I improve across the board. And as I was doing that, I was working on a bunch of deals where there was all this really interesting technology innovation, data science happening in what I call the sick care world. So healthcare services that are helping people who are already sick get better or manage their conditions. And a light bulb really went off and said, hey, why can't we take what's going on in this healthcare services and innovation and push it more towards prevention, helping people figure out what to do and how to live healthier longer. And that's really why I went to go get my MBA. So I got my MBA from Harvard, spent my 2 years there really looking at how can I make an impact in this world around consumer health prevention, around helping people stay healthier longer, increasing health span, and ultimately connected with my now co-founder, Daniel, through that. Daniel has a PhD in biotechnology, which in layman's terms means he's a like crazy mad scientist who knows how to connect health data and build out consumer products that really are more focused around prevention, helping people live longer and healthier lives.
Perfect. Thank you so much for that wonderful summary. So let's talk a little bit about Routine. So again, we did our best to kind of tee up a very kind of general introduction to you and the company and what you guys do. Can you elaborate more about what exactly is your product? How are you different from all the other kind of products that consumers can find on the market?
Yeah, definitely. So what we really like to do is help people take control of their health with data. So we remove the guesswork in this very noisy health market, as you mentioned, where people are not sure what to do, where to turn. We connect the dots between your health data and kind of the nutrition solutions that will work best and help you track that performance over time. For instance, through wearable analytics and at-home lab tests, we help our members understand what their baseline metrics are and what their body needs to perform optimally. And then we deliver precision nutrition supplements and education to help them get there, and then continuously optimize and improve those insights, recommendations, and products over time to really support our members where they are at every time. From a product perspective, our core product that we launched with is called the Precision Multivitamin. And so what we do is we look at over 100 health data points across lifestyle, genetics, blood levels, get a really holistic view of where our members are, and then send them a precise formula of around 20 nutrients that is all dosed specifically for them. And then we help them understand if that formula is working through tracking on our web app, as well as dynamically improving those formulas as they progress in their health journey.
I think that sounds great, but like how much better is it from someone here in the States going to like a Walgreens, Target, or CVS, getting the standard multivitamin, which claim on the bottle a lot of times, you will get your foundational vitamins and minerals that your body needs, right? And perhaps maybe they can kind of supplement that with extra research that they find through network friends, families, or Google. Maybe they consume a little bit more vitamin K or D or B12 or folate, et cetera. Like how much better is having actually that data made and customized specifically for you in terms of like how people would feel taking a product Routine versus like what they can already find out there through like general kind of distribution channels?
Yeah, it's a great question. And what you really describe is this like DIY approach to health, which is really just a guess and check, where you see people wasting a ton of time, a lot of money, taking stuff that they don't know if it works for them, and in a lot of cases can potentially harm them. So from a genetics perspective, there are a lot of nutrients that your body might not be able to absorb. You don't know that if you don't test. From a blood level perspective, nutrients and vitamins and minerals aren't benign. They can be harmful if you're taking too much, if you have too much vitamin D in your blood or too much B12 in your blood, you shouldn't be taking those. And so the only way to really know what your body needs and where you are is to test first. So look at your blood levels, look at your vitamin mineral deficiencies, look at your inflammation levels to understand what the right answer is for you. And then from a results perspective, how do you know kind of if what you're doing is working if you can't go back to that baseline information? And then also from a results perspective, what we're seeing our members report on is they're seeing improved energy, lower stress, overall like better well-being. 80% are reporting improvements in at least some health metric. And we're also seeing blood testing, blood levels optimize over time and continue to maintain levels within the normal or optimal range.
That's really interesting, Rachel, because I know a lot of people's relationship with vitamins and minerals, it can be a little bit difficult sometimes because it's not like, for example, drinking coffee where you just, you know, you consume it and you immediately feel the caffeine kick in. You take vitamin C, vitamin D. For a lot of people, even for myself, anecdotally, you don't really feel any difference, but you kind of hopefully go to bed at night knowing that, you know, you're taking extra supplements, it's giving you the extra nutrients that your body needs. But from what I'm hearing, from what you're hearing from feedback based on your customers, is that people are actually feeling or noticing something different when it comes to like boosted energy, overall well-being. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly.
What is the vehicle of consumption? Is it like a pill form? Is it like under the tap sublingual? Like, is it liquid, the routine? How do people actually like digest and consume your products?
Yeah, so our precision multivitamin is microbeads or a sachet of microbeads. Mm-hmm. So microbeads are kind of quinoa size individual nutrients that are really easy to take. So you can take them with liquid, or you can stir them into a smoothie or put them on your kind of breakfast bowl and swallow them that way. So it allows for more accessibility for nutrients versus taking large pills, which 40 to 60% of the US don't or can't take.
I'm not a fan of pills myself. That's really cool. Microbeads, is that what you call them?
Exactly.
And you can crunch on them kind of, they just dissolve in liquid or both?
They, you just swallow them. So they don't dissolve. Gotcha. It's kind of like a chia seed type texture.
Gotcha. And then is it usually a one-off payment? Is it a subscription-based routine? If people are listening through the audience, like how much is it? How does the pricing work?
Yeah. So for the Precision Multivitamin, it's $69 a month. And our at-home lab testing starts at $95 for lab testing memberships, which are done quarterly, or you can buy one-time tests starting at $115. And we have 4 different tests available right now.
Gotcha. And can you just go over the different tests again, like how do they work?
So we have 2 blood tests, which are both finger pricks. All of our tests are done at home. The first blood test is a vitamin deficiency and inflammation test. So it looks at essential vitamin levels as well as 2 inflammation markers to understand where your body stands from that perspective. We also have a mineral deficiency test. We have a DNA test for nutrition that looks at about 50 genetic markers that all have a proven impact on the way your body processes or metabolizes nutrients. For example, vitamin D is one here where your VDR gene could be broken or mutated to where your body needs additional vitamin D to get the same impact as someone who doesn't have a mutated gene. And that need would not show up in blood work. So you could have normal amounts of vitamin D in your blood, have a mutated gene, and you actually need much more vitamin D to get those same processes with your cells and cellular health. And then our 4th test is a stress response test that we're still in beta on the stress program, but that is launching here soon. And that looks at 3 different cortisol points throughout the day to understand how your body responds to stress and where your cortisol curve is today and where it should be from an optimal perspective.
And you also mentioned that routine has a wearable component as well.
We are, launching wearable analytics. So if you have an Apple Watch or you use a Whoop or an Aura, we're going to be able to ingest your information from there, look at information like HRV, sleep, and you use that to further personalize your formulas and recommendations from an education perspective.
That's really cool. And so, and I'm assuming this is a daily thing, similar to many other daily multivitamins in terms of like how you're supposed to consume it.
Yes, that's correct. Cool.
What is the company doing in terms of compliance, security, kind of, you know, following kind of regulations in terms of making sure like the products are safe, you know, they're not harmful?
Yeah, we do the highest level of quality review. We follow the CGMP, which is FDA regulated manufacturing guidelines. Mm-hmm. We also follow all of the FDA labeling and testing. So we go through as much as we can on the quality assurance side. We also do third-party testing across the board on the quality side. And we're also looking at outcomes individually for our members. Are the products that we're offering our members actually working? And then how do we fine-tune them over time? So using that data and technology to even further improve our products beyond what a standard multivitamin would be able to do. And then from a data and security standpoint, we do not sell or share your data other than using it to manufacture products and make recommendations around kind of education or lifestyle-based changes.
And the products are available US only?
Yes.
Terms of routine? Gotcha. Very cool. So in terms of people, in terms of like the company, like how big is the team today?
We have about 15 full-time between employees and contractors and additional like 4 to 5 part-time contractors that we work with.
Amazing. Are you fully remote? Do you have an office? Are you hybrid? What's your take on that?
We're, I'd say, 90% remote. We are remote first. We have been since before it became popular. So when we launched in 2019, we were already remote. But we do have a small office headquartered in Nashville, Tennessee.
And then for people who are listening, who are just very health conscious, or they would love to hopefully one day work at a health company that's having impact on many people like yours, is there anything about maybe the internal culture, the internal environment working at Routine that makes you special? Like, what would you say is kind of the X factor?
Yeah, we like to practice what we preach in terms of making sure people are optimizing their health, both mentally and physically, and making sure that comes out through company culture, which isn't always the case in a startup world. But we really value time balance. We value boundary setting. We value deep work. There's people that will take the afternoon off to go for a walk or take a break in the middle of the day, think about meditating or journaling. So we believe in these health practices, and we want to encourage that. So for people that are really interested in making a difference in people's health, oftentimes those are the same people that really care about their own. And so that's a really special aspect of our culture.
And for people who are kind of curious about what it's like working with you, Rachel, would you be able to elaborate? What is your leadership or managerial philosophy?
That's a great question. I don't know I have a specific philosophy, but I will say what I don't do. So I grew up in the world of investment banking, and there's a lot of things about that world that is, I don't think, conducive to optimal health, maybe optimal productivity, but not optimal health. And so what we try to do is hire really great people and give them the power to make decisions, stay away from micromanaging, and really get out of their way. And so we have set up a culture and a leadership team that really believes in that approach, so that we're unblocking people where we need to. We're creating the systems and the processes we need to make that type of philosophy work. But we're not micromanaging. We're not checking in on FaceTime culture is not a thing. We're really about results. So if you're super efficient and you're providing a lot of results, great. If not, then there's another kind of, you might be working a little bit more. But it's really results first versus FaceTime first.
If you were hiring into the future, what sort of positions would you be hiring for, just in case the audience is curious? And if people want to apply, like, where could they kind of apply?
Yeah, we're going after kind of this massive opportunity to create a reality where every health and nutrition decision is based on real-time biology, real-time data, and individual biology. And so that means we're building a very cross-functional team. So we're always hiring across brand, marketing, data science, engineering, operations, customer success. Mm-hmm. So if you're someone who's really interested in routine and interested in learning more about the team, reach out to me or to other team members, share your resume and share why you want to work with us. But we really look out for great people that we can help help them grow, and they can help us grow.
I feel like the technology that you're developing, specifically focused on precise nutrition, a lot of vitamins and minerals, can go beyond vitamins and minerals into the future. So like, is there kind of a teaser in terms of the direction or future plans that you can share with the audience? I, of course, I know you have to keep a lot close to your chest, but just wanted to ask.
Yeah, so there's, as we think about our mission, which is to empower millions to leverage their data to achieve optimal health, there's obviously a lot that can be done there. But it's really about meeting people where they are, both physically and mentally from a health journey, and creating those solutions that are all rooted in data science and clinical research that can really make an impact on their health. So that's kind of how we think about expansion, but it is, there is a lot of opportunity to use our technology, use our products, use our know-how, and really expand the definition of what is routine.
So for people who are a little bit more curious about just your personal journey, like I know a lot of people listening probably have gone through similar types of companies like investment banking, PE, consulting, insurance, accounting, et cetera. How helpful was that experience to leverage if one decided to become a founder down the line? Like, did you find like the core kind of skills that you're able to kind of develop and create, whether it's on the quant side or analytical side or both, you were able to kind of leverage or hopefully be a little instrumental to kind of being your own boss?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think my investment banking like upbringing, as I like to say, is one of the kind of core foundation that makes me as successful as I am today. But it's also my specific investment banking experience, and I can dive deeper into that. So if you choose a career path, which banking really is, or something like finance, consulting, et cetera, you are basically drinking from a fire hose. You're trying to figure out what you're supposed to be doing coming out of undergrad at this really highly demanding, fast-paced environment where mistakes really aren't, you can't really make a ton of mistakes. If you make them, don't make them again. And so with that comes learning how to work, learning how to be really efficient, learning what matters fast. And then for me specifically, it was, I did a lot of like getting curious around, all right, what are founders doing? What are the people that we're working with doing? What are older bankers doing? And just like starting to learn. I'm inherently curious in everything I do. I love learning. I loved school. I loved everything kind of outside of school. And if I'm learning something, I'm happy. And so taking that approach was really helpful. And then specifically, I worked in middle market banking, which meant I was working with oftentimes founders on their maybe second fundraise or sale. So they were selling, maybe they had raised the money and then they were selling into PE. And so I got a very closer look versus bulge bracket into what was happening from an operations perspective within healthcare tech and services, which I found fascinating. And it was a really good learning ground for me as a founder in the healthcare space. I would also add on that I think personally that MBAs are very helpful as you think about becoming a founder, because you get a groundwork in education across the board, but you also build this insane network. So combining my banking knowledge with my MBA network has made it so that founding a company is just a little bit easier.
What's one thing about founding a company like Routine that you did not expect coming into this? Or that surprised you?
You don't know what it's like to be a founder until you're a founder. And that's not surprising, but it's just this kind of tidbit. So you don't know how it's going to feel when you announce your Series A, or how it's going to feel when early team members leave unexpectedly, or kind of all of the little ins and outs of operations and people management and building a team and a culture. And how do you think about it remote? You just, there's a lot of things that come at you, which you know, and you expect, but the way it feels mentally is something you can't know until you do it.
What does your day-to-day look like for those that are curious?
It's a good question. So I'm all about calendaring. So I actually look at it from a week-to-week standpoint. So I typically don't do calls on Tuesdays or Fridays, unless they're like absolutely urgent, to protect my deep work time. I still am both an individual contributor and a manager, but I'm transitioning obviously to more work as a manager from being an IC. But there's still days that I need to do deep work across the board, whether it's for IC work or management work. And then I do internal calls on Mondays. So we do weekly calls and then department one-on-ones. And then that leaves all day Wednesday and sometime on Thursday for external calls. And that's everything from talking to investors, partnerships, talking to other founders, talking to folks like you all, and kind of dealing with any fire drills that pop up, but really kind of planning that out as well as I can. Obviously, things change, weeks shift, fundraising time is different, holiday time is different, but that's typically how I structure my day.
What would you say really kind of motivates you, right? Of course, like just knowing couple snapshots of your career so far, it's no surprise that the finance world, investment banking is very difficult, right? And then to move on to working different sorts of jobs, mid-market within the healthcare space, I'm sure that's equally as challenging and demanding. And of course, life as a founder, extremely demanding. And a lot of it is just kind of going by the seat of your pants, going with the flow. Like, what keeps you strong? What keeps you like motivated during the toughest times?
Yeah, I would say there's motivation and there's also routine and kind of discipline. On the latter part, so routine and discipline, there are a couple of non-negotiables in my life that help facilitate how I show up as a founder, but also show up as a partner, as a mom. And that's making sure I'm actually paying attention to my own health, and that's physical and mental. So I try to work out 5+ days a week. I use Future right now, which is a great app to help give more access to personal training and workouts. I pay attention to what I eat. I take my supplements. I check in on my health, both from a testing, so blood level perspective. I actually use Routine. I also have done some check-ins on glucose through Levels, which is really helpful, but I make sure that I can do that. And I also am a big sleeper. I do have a 9-week-old right now, so my sleep has been kind of put on the back burner, but once sleep kind of gets more back there, it's something I really pay attention to, and having a morning and nighttime routine there. And then in terms of motivation, as I think about kind of overarching career, I really love working in the health space because you can see impact in people. I want to help people live healthier lives and live longer with a better health span. And so as I think about building, one of our core values is human first. Are we building with empathy? Are we building products that are making a difference in people's lives? And that really motivates me beyond just the every day of a startup. And then I'm also, as I mentioned, inherently curious. I love solving complex problems. I run headfirst into challenges. I figure out how to knock through those brick walls. And that's some of my proudest moments when I can figure out things that most people think are impossible. So that's a internal motivation across the board and kind of everything I've done from a career perspective.
For women in the audience that are soon to be mothers or mothers today who want to be able to continue to excel or manage or balance everything, professional, personal, obviously your family, like, do you have one advice that has helped you?
Give yourself grace is one, and ask for help, raise your hand. I do what I do with a lot of help. So I'm a mom of 2 kids and have a startup, and that's hard. And I had both my kids while running an early stage startup, also very hard. So you're not gonna be able to do it all. You need to ask for help. You need to surround yourself, with support, and you need to like allow for the uncertainty. One of my favorite sayings is, why not throw a little more chaos on top of a world that is chaotic as a startup founder? But one of the, going back to your last questions, one of the most surprising things is that being a startup founder actually prepared me to be a parent better than I could have ever imagined. Because as a first-time parent specifically, but even just a parent in general, your kids add this element of like, who knows what's going to happen, right? Like things pop up, like they get hurt, they have to go to the doctor. There's just like all of this like chaos, and you learn how to be okay and like live and thrive in chaos. And I've been able to take that back into parenting and then take the parenting lessons back into work. And so it's more of a work-life integration than it is anything else. And the last piece of advice there is, if you're working in an area that you're truly passionate about and motivated in, which for me is health, and it's part of your day-to-day. So my hobbies are like facilitated by my work, and my work makes my hobbies more fun. And so like, how do you find that integration so that you're not spreading yourself too thin? Plus it's just more enjoyable to live your life that way.
I think that could be an amazing headline to a blog article, Rachel. Startup founder can help you become a better parent. there's certainly a lot of similarities and overlaps there, right? Because you can do as many you can watch as many videos, you can read as many books about parenting or how to be a founder, but you just don't know until you actually go through it, like you kind of right. Wonderfully pointed out before. And so, yeah, I think it makes sense. I think for new parents, for current parents who are listening right now, perhaps if you want to learn how to be a better parent, maybe start your own company. You heard it from Rachel, the CEO of Routine. And I love how you said that. Oh, sorry.
I was just going to say, I'd also add that we're talking about like type A busy professionals who are parents and they've got all sorts of things going on. And as they think about their own health and how do they figure out their health journey, it's really about finding solutions that are going to save you time, that you're not going to be sitting there researching and trying to DIY. You're going to get convenient, easy answers. And that's really what we try to do at Routine for people, to make sure that they're getting what they need, but not spending hours and hours doing it and actually getting a better solution than even if they did do that.
Speaking of solutions, of course we know that, you know, from this discussion, all roads go back to Routine, but from your experience with just trying different things, I'm not asking for anything official in terms of advice, but just from what experience, what helped you? And I'm also personally curious because I know even my own family members that have just battled with a lot of digestion and gut issues over the years, trying new stuff constantly. And it just pains me to kind of see their journey and a lot of resources and emotional locus that kind of goes into like just trying to manage or trying to find any solutions. Was there anything that kind of really helped you that possibly can help others? And perhaps if they supplement that with Routine, perhaps that's the ultimate solution. But
this is going to be any advice that's like super new to anyone, but really trying to focus on whole foods, on lean proteins, staying away from processed everything, and making sure that you're supplementing with anything you might be missing is really key. So me taking care of my genetics and kind of my blood levels and where I am, vitamin D is always very something I always need. Additional antioxidants, eating organically, so reducing my intake of heavy metals and other toxins is very important specifically for me. And B vitamins, I have not necessarily an energy problem, but as I think about where I am in my life between kind of fatigue and mood and coming back from postpartum, the B kind of suite is really important.
Are you or the company also planning on just applying technologies to pre-existing conditions, chronic illnesses, instead of just kind of strictly prevention through vitamins and multivitamins into the future?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely an opportunity to use this type of technology and apply it more towards the condition. But as it harkens back to kind of the initial conversation, it's really around how do you kind of support people outside of the traditional medical services world, which is how we kind of think about it. So what else, if you have an autoimmune disease or you have a chronic condition, how else can we support you using our technology products and services beyond the traditional, I'm just going to go to the doctor route?
So in your perspective, what is the future of just like the supplemental or the vitamin and mineral industry into the future? Are people going to continue going and purchasing OTC solutions at the CVSs and Walgreens? Or do you see a greater trend and more of a greater a demand in terms of having a desire of more customizable, personal options that are made just for them? Or maybe it's a combination. What are you saying?
Yeah. My view, every person is unique. They know that. People want to feel special. They want to feel heard. And they want to know what they're doing is working for them. And so because of that, the future of this industry, health in general, but also as you look at broader consumer, is personalized. People want to be able to feel like they are getting their unique needs satisfied and dealt with. And so as we think about the future of health, the future of the vitamin and supplement industry, there is going to be some element of personalization across the board, but that will exist in both retail and physical and through working with providers. So people still trust their health providers for health information. People still want to be able to get easily accessible solutions for them without having to get it shipped to their house. And so the solutions that will really win here are the ones that can really combine those categories. So how are you combining retail and physical or digital and physical? How are you combining and integrating and partnering with providers and clinicians? And how are you helping people get more personalized? And that's really something that we do as well as we look at it. So we're not intense biohacking all the time, but really helping more mass audiences take some of the lessons from biohacking and apply it to their own health.
Is Routine strictly kind of an online D2C? Do you guys participate in events? Do you participate doing physical booths sporadically throughout the year at certain events? Like, if people want to kind of find more information or meet you and the team, like where and how can they do that?
Yeah, we've been historically D2C, but we're expanding more. We're going to make our products and ourselves more accessible as we think about 2023. We actually have a team right now who's in LA for Fit Expo, which is a very large fitness and health conference.
Oh, awesome. And then if people wanted to learn more information about the products or FAQs, I'm assuming they can go to your website. Is that correct?
Yep, exactly.
Okay. For also people in the audience, and also, again, just to women who really want to follow in your footsteps, perhaps they're feeling discouraged. Maybe they're in a very difficult, stressful industry, demanding. I want to ask, like, is there one advice or couple of pieces of advice that you can share from your experience that allowed you to just be able to be just, you know, blazing a trail and executing on turn and all the big decisions that you've made throughout your career, from working at a lot of the different types of companies to even becoming a successful founder?
In this, I'll probably share a quote that I kind of live by, which is do something that scares you every day. And that's, I think, a great piece of advice too for people who are in demanding industries or maybe want to change or want to explore or they want to transition into something else. Oftentimes those what ifs get in the way. And so if you just say, all right, I'm going to do this one thing, it's maybe scary, but I'm going to try it. And then if you do that one thing day in and day out, all of a sudden you've made that transition without it being super scary. And so that like sometimes helps me and has helped me in the past. If something seems overwhelming or too big to kind of do that, focus on what you can do today, and then kind of do that every day.
So instead of confronting something as a massive obstacle, you try to do your best to break it up into smaller, more digestible pieces and systematically kind of go through it.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the same for founders. Like, you don't build a $1 billion business in a day, you build it over time. And so like, what is it, those daily, weekly, monthly, quarterly milestones that are going to get you to that big, massive, obstacle moving moment? And you can think about that the same from your career.
Is there anyone that really inspires you, or do you have like a role model that, gets you excited and fired up to keep kind of doing what you're doing, Rachel?
I have a number of like different types of mentors or role models. There's people I don't know, there's people I do, and there's other founders, and they all matter. So the people I don't know, a couple people I really look up to, Alexa Von Tobel. She was the founder of LearnVest. She sold it to Northwestern Mutual, I think back in 2015, one of the largest fintech acquisitions of the time, but also is a mom with three kids and has now started her own venture fund. So she's one of those female role models that kind of blazed her own path. And I really am impressed by what she's done. Also, the founders of Rent the Runway, that's a story that I follow a lot. Out of a similar kind of age group from Harvard Business School, they're also talked about a lot while you're in school. So following their journey has been really interesting as well. I also have some mentors that have helped me kind of navigate the ins and the outs of the VC fundraising startup journey. Also one professor from business school, but also kind of a connection from her. And then I have a really great group of founders, both through OnDeck, which is a founder community, but also through a number of business school classmates of mine are also founders. So we ask each other questions, see what's going on, help each other out, because the best advice comes from people who are going through it or have just gone through it. And so making sure that you're connecting and finding that community is also really important. Plus, a lot of them I look up to a lot, even if maybe they're earlier or they're later stage, just kind of how they operate in their day-to-day. There's always lessons to be learned.
And lastly, for someone obviously who interacts a lot with teams and founders and obviously in all things recruiting, I commend you and team for just growing to be a great size in this market. And I like to kind of joke with founders and that if you can build in this market, you can build in any market. 2022, we thought 2020 was the worst of it. Then we saw last year. Then a lot of people are concerned about this year with the headwinds. But, you know, I think whether you're a team of 5, 10, 15, or 20, that deserves a lot of respect. What has been your greatest kind of channel or method in terms of just attracting and retaining top talent?
It's a good question. The retaining part is really around investing in people processes, which admittedly we didn't have great ones about a year ago. And then we have worked with some really great people and brought in some really great systems and processes to make our the team engine run a lot smoother than it was. So making sure that you're paying attention to that constantly. And then as a startup, we value feedback from our members. And as a leader, I really value feedback from my team because you can't improve what you don't know that needs to be improved. And so continuously asking for that feedback and making changes and iterating is something we do from a team perspective as well. And then from hiring, we've had great hires for people that have reached out to us directly. People that have been warm introed. We've also done broader searches. And so it's really kind of from everywhere, but we really think about culture fit. We think about outcomes fit. So what is the job that we want that person to do? And what are the outcomes that we want them to achieve? And thinking about hiring from that perspective.
Is there anything in prospective applicants' background that you have a kind of a soft spot for? Perhaps, you know, someone like you has come out of consulting or banking, and then they broke into tech, or maybe someone had a non-traditional background. Is there something that you kind of look forward to, or you look for specifically, or if you don't, if you see it, you're like, oh, that's really, really cool.
Yes and no. Our chief of staff is an ex-consultant who went into tech and health and wellness. And I gravitated more towards that background for the chief of staff role specifically, because it's a strategic role that is my basically second in command, that's doing everything across the company except for coding. And so having that background that can kind of jump in, figure it out, drink from the fire hose and just go is really important. I would say overarching, we value curiosity. We value past excellence in whatever way that kind of comes out, whether it's career, education, et cetera. And we really value communication because we are an async, not fully async, but somewhat async remote first team. Mm-hmm. And so the ability to communicate and kind of discern information is really important, mm-hmm. or disseminate information.
And what is just like your rough interview process look like, in case people are curious?
Yeah, we start with intro calls, and we go into a longer, so we start, intro calls are about 15 minutes, then we go into a longer department specific call, 30 minutes, and then we have a take home project for all roles. And this goes back to the being able to disseminate information and communicate effectively in a remote world. And this comes out really well in the take homes. We try to make them be less than an hour. So between 30 minutes to an hour across the board, replacing a longer 1 hour interview. And then we do reference checks and make decisions from there. So it's pretty quick, but it's very comprehensive.
Gotcha. And one more thing that I want to kind of mention. So I know that you also provide analytics. So do you have a web app that you guys are developing? Is it a mobile app? Both? How can people see the insights and data?
Yeah, we have a member dashboard accessible via our web app right now, but we will be launching a mobile app in 2023.
Very cool. Well, it seems like there's a lot of exciting things to look forward to from you and the team. I think from just our conversation, Rachel, I think personal solutions is becoming a theme for a lot of different industries and sectors, and specifically when it comes to just health and consumer facing products like this. I mean, it's a no brainer. And for someone who has spent way too much money throughout my own life going to CVS and buying these multivitamins and probably not doing the best for my body in terms of being efficient and providing optimal solutions, I think this is something that makes sense to me. And I think it can make sense to a lot of people that are listening into the audience. So just really want to, again, thank you for your time. I know as a founder, time is extremely limited, and so very grateful for that. And thank you for opening up and sharing with us and myself your experience about what you did prior to routine, your health, your personal journey, to what you and the team are working on now, to what you and the team will work on and release into the future. So it's been a wonderful chat. I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I personally would be rooting for you guys and excited to see additional products that you and the team release and launch in the future. I wish you nothing but amazing success in this crazy 2023 that we're about to go into.
Great. Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Rachel. We'll keep in touch.
Thank you so much for listening. Make sure you subscribe for other great stories that are coming up. If you need any help with hiring, know of anyone who's looking for a job, or would like to be a guest on this podcast, please feel free to reach out to us at www.kickstartfinder.com. Really, really appreciate it, and we'll see you on the next one.